We like that. We like singing hallelujah. And we like the idea of never more to die. We're glad that God has watched over us and blessed us with the presence of mind to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He has brought us safely here, and I believe He will take us safely where we came from, I guess. It's wonderful to be in the body of Christ. It's wonderful to know that the church of Christ is the Lord's church. And we need not add to it, nor take away from it. Obey His instructions that He has given us with this grand book called the Bible. And the promises that God shares with us. The promises that He makes to the righteous. Let me put it this way and I'll see if you get it. The promises that God makes to the righteous are out of this world. Amen. Yes, sir. Did you get it?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. This morning, we'd like to talk with you from the book of Ephesians. And the chapter is 1. But it's the latter part of Ephesians. And the upper verses of chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 1. And then on over to chapter 2. How are you this morning? You're alive and you're well enough to be in the house of God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let us read some of God's Bible this morning into your hearing. That we, starting with verse 12 of chapter 1, notice, that we should be to the what? Praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's good news, first place. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling? Hallelujah. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Still in chapter 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He showed us in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And verse 22, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, and gave Him the Son, all things to the church. So He left nothing to the church for us to name.
Amen.
Jesus named His own church.
Yes, sir. Yes.
He tells us how to worship Him. It's not our decision, it's His. The only decision we can make in that regard is, I'm not going to be a part of it, which is the worst mistake that you can ever make. Well, let me read verse 22. and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you, citizens of the church, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, but you are made alive in Christ Jesus. Where at any time past you walked according to the course of this flesh, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in you, you are the children of God, the children of disobedience yesterday, but now you're the children of God, among whom also we all had our conversations, we all had our days in times past, and the lust of the flesh and fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, anger, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even. Did you get that? He loved us even. Even what? Even when we were dead in sin, and hath given us life, hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. As if he hasn't already showed it, he still wants to show us more. Through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a work lest any man should boast. By grace are you saved through faith. We are saved providing we hold to God's unchanging hand in our faith, with no departing from his instructions. Amen. The grace of God. The grace of God. What we have. You want a subject? How blessed we are. How blessed we are. And that's what the writer is talking about right here. And what is the exceeding, verse 19 again of chapter 1. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he manifested in Christ Jesus. Let him come to the world, live in the world as a human being, die in the world, and raise him up 3 days later. Bring him on back to glory 4 days later. To sit with him in glory. When he wrought in Christ, which he wrought in Christ. Let's make that verse 9 again and flow into this. Verse 10. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? What God has, the love and the power that God has shown us. And when we see what he is able to do, we need not fear. If we are faithful servants of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which he wrought in Christ, his mighty power, verse 19, his mighty power, which he manifested or wrought in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead. What's one of the things that human beings, I don't know, what word should I use next? Are fearful of? Want to avoid? Death is one of them. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead. So if we walk with the Lord, we need not be fearful of what? Amen. Because the God that we serve has power over death. And we have that power if we are faithful in obedience to his Son. Amen. Isn't that something? No creature on planet Earth has the power over death. Oh, yes, when you get sick and feel like you're going to die, you, Doctor give you some medicine and da-da-da-da-da, and you feel get well and feel better. Woo! Sure, thank the God, doctor. Yeah, you can thank the God, doctor, but the real one to thank is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who blessed him from the dead, who raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion, and he's over every other. There's nothing over. There's no power over Jesus Christ. His Father says that. Blesses him with that. So that means, if I have any kind of sense, I need to know what Jesus Christ would have me to do. Because he loves, God loves his Father. I mean his Son. And he loves us who love his Son. Did you get that? God loves his Son. And he loves us who loves his Son and is obedient to his Son. Amen, preacher. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. You cannot come up with a name that's over Jesus Christ. Not only in this world, but also in the world which has come, and I have put all things under his feet, under his authority, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Wait a minute. Why do I see all these different names on church buildings? He gave that privilege to his Son. Are you there? So how can they possibly believe that they are going to be pleasing in the sight of God when they have interfered with the name that his Son has given his church? Oh, that gives us some information. It's not his church. It's not his church. It's just that simple. Because God gave that privilege to his Son.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that will tell you right away. Keep walking. You haven't found the Lord's church yet. Verse 22 again. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And Jesus told his apostles, go ye there to all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. So we are to, if we want to obey the Lord and please God at the same time, we must do what the Savior commands. Period.
Yes, sir.
It's not, we don't even have a discussion about it. Just do it. Hear and obey the Lord, and for this is right. Amen. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. If he wanted reverence, he could have them. But he didn't have them. He had apostles, gospel preachers, elders and deacons, but no reverence. All things to the church, which is his body. His body. Church, if you plan to live forever in heaven with God, we must honor his Son. We must honor his Son.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And not be grudgingly honoring his Son. Honor his Son because we love his Son. God did what he did because he loves us. Jesus did what he did because he loves his Father and loves us. So our activities and our actions must be predicated upon what the Father says and the Son says, and that we do it because we love it. So yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. I love worshiping the Lord. Amen, preacher. I gave him to be the head of all things to the church. I'm in verse 23. Gave him to be the head of all things to the church. To the church. Now, when we help the church Who's pleased? You know, the owner of the church is pleased, and the father of the church is pleased. But when we get up on Sunday morning and say, well, I don't know. I think the football game comes on about 12:15, and I don't think I'll be back. I'd like to see the first of it. God nor his son take second place under any circumstances. He doesn't take second place. If you're sick, that's different. That's not an excuse. So we must ask ourselves the question. The church is a Lord's church. God loves his son. Wisdom says to me, let me make sure I understand how his son would have me to live on planet Earth and relate to his church, putting him and his church first in my life. Be careful. You want to make your calling and election sure? We're going to have a day of judgment. Am I just being lazy? I don't have time for night church. Come once in a while to Bible class, maybe during the week. Where are we tonight? Today? Make your calling and election sure. Because God has already, beyond human measure, manifested his love for us and his love of his son. He wants to bless us. God wants to bless us. Jesus Christ wants to bless us. But we must be faithful servants of God. We go to funerals. We sing songs. We feel, if it's a loved one, we feel the heaviness of losing a loved one. But that's not just for that loved one. God has not just put this book in our hands, blessed us to have the information, for naught. It's because of his everlasting love for his faithful children. And he lets us know ahead of time that he loves us because of what he did for us, as well as still doing for us. Verse 1 of chapter 2. And you, Paul is saying, you Christians, hath he quickened? Has he brought alive? Were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, you are his adopted children. He has forgiven you of your past sins. Wherein, and you have he who were dead in trespasses and sin, you and us too. He's blessed us the same way. Wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, thank God for the spirit that now worketh in the children, of disobedience. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had. There was a time before we become children of God, obedient to the will of God. There was a time among whom also we were right there. We all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind and of by nature. We did what we felt like doing. Whatever we thought we want to do it, thought we could get away with it, we did it. Before we became the sons and daughters of God. That's what look at verse 4. How does it start? What's the first two words? But God, who is rich in mercy, rich in love, great love, wherewith he loved us. Mm-mm. You know, after Jesus came, lived on planet Earth, and then was crucified, God raised him up. But did you remember, you notice, God did not kill the people that were alive and killed his son? What a love. What a love God has for human beings. And how much more so for obedient human beings. Look at the text. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, has made us alive together with Christ. Even when we were dead in sin, God blessed us to hear, believe, receive, and obey his gospel, his son's gospel. And hath raised us up together and made us to do what?
Sit together.
And you know, you have folk in the churches of Christ walking away from the congregation because I'm upset. Anybody in here named Mamie? Good. Because I'm upset with Mary Sue. So they leave the church. Go elsewhere. From my limited post of observation, I'm very challenged to believe that God is pleased with that individual that's upset with his brother or sister and then leave the congregation and set up house over yonder. I don't believe that God is pleased with that, because we are sons and daughters. Work it out. Come together.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And work it out. Because we are all trying to make it if we have any. I mean, we're all trying to make it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Now, are you getting upset? I don't think you are. But that doesn't change God. And I'm sharing with you what's in God's Bible. I'm going to go somewhere. No, we work it out. We are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. How? Where are you going when we get it? No, you won't get there to glory. I started saying, where are you going when we get to glory? You can't go over to the congregation on 33rd Street. God manifested his love when we were sinners. God put up with us.
Yes, sir.
Sent his son for us. Why can't we love one another and work out our challenges? Amen, preacher.
Amen.
And even, all right, a couple more verses. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us, made us alive. Quickened us together with Christ by the grace are you saved. Not because we deserved it, but by grace. The love that God had for us and has. And hath raised us up. Look at the word. After the word up. You see it? Can't go by yourself. Can't go by yourself. Has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, manifestation of his love, his grace His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are we saved. Not because we owe God. Not because God owes us anything. But by the grace of God we are saved. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. In other words, we didn't earn it. God gave it. The privilege of being his son. Of being his daughter. Through what he did in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Even the faith that you generated is the gift of God. Because everybody don't accept the gift of God. Not of works lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let us remember the manifestation of the love of God. Let us remember and recall the love that God has for us. Someone, in some case, some way, angers you, don't throw that person away. God doesn't throw us away when we walk away from him. He doesn't throw us away. We have the privilege, if he gives us life, we have the privilege of coming back. Let us work together. Why are you singing? What's that kind of song? It's time for us to move on. He has brought us this far. And this project, he didn't allow us to come to accomplish what we have accomplished. But there are other people that God wants saved, that Jesus Christ wants saved. Let us remember that we are saved by God, that we might in turn help someone else to remain safe or to become safe in Christ Jesus. We are servants of God. Jesus Christ is not coming back to talk with anyone or show anyone how to live in Christ Jesus. God is not coming down to do that. None of the apostles are coming back to walk on planet Earth and teach and encourage people to become a member of the one church. You would think that people could read the Bible. Think that people that read the Bible would look for churches of Christ. Why would you go and be a member of a church that's not even named in the Bible and say at the same time, I believe in the Bible? Well, why are you over here supporting this church that has this name, the Donald Jesus? Give it the name that God gives it. It's his church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Not someone else's church. So it makes it easy for you to, it makes it easy, when you look at it this way, it makes it easy for you to know where not to go. Make your calling and election sure. There is a heaven that's waiting for us. There's a place of comfort that's waiting for us before we go on to glory land. There's a place of discomfort awaiting those who die out of favor with God. That's in your Bible, Revelation chapter 20. Where are you today? Are you a member of the Church of Christ? Are you a supporter of the Church of Christ that's written in the Bible? And if not, why not? Why would you say you want to go to heaven and don't honor his instructions while you're here and can make the decision to obey his gospel and be added to his church? Well, you say, how do I do that? The apostles preached by the power of the Holy Spirit and gives us the instructions as to how one is added to the body of Christ. You do what you're doing right now. You're hearing the word of God. Believe it. That's number two. Hear the word of God. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. God is sorrowful for the sinful life that I've lived to this point. Acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. And be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins. And God will add you to his spiritual family, the Church of Christ. Hear, believe, repent of your sins. Acknowledge your love for Jesus Christ. And acknowledge the fact that, yes, you are a sinner. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Confess that Jesus, that's number four. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. And God, when you come up out of the water of baptism, God immediately adds you to the Church of Christ. Isn't that good news? Well, now, you've heard the word. We have the baptismal garments. They're ready. The baptizer, he's ready. The Lord is ready to save you. The only thing that we don't know is where you. Where are you? You want to give your life to the Lord? Serve him as a faithful servant on planet Earth. And when you become absent from the body, in other words, God puts you in the body, he takes you out of the body into eternity. But you don't want to go to that place, any place of discomfort, when he takes you out of the body at any time. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you're here of that disposition, this is your opportunity. If you're already in the body and you have not been faithful to the Lord, living the way he has commanded us to live, he's ready to forgive you if you're ready to repent and acknowledge your sin and ask for the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The lesson is yours. Let us together stand. You come. The garments are ready. The water is ready. And the baptizer is ready.
Wondering from
question is,
God,
are you ready?
You not
come to Jesus.
The invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God, careless, oh.
That's a terrible thing.
Oh, hear the warning for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment
unprepared
to meet the God.
Before you sing the next verse, I want you to ask yourself, did the preacher preach what's in the Bible? And I'm asking you to ask yourself, are you a member of the Church of Christ? Now, if yourself says, no, I'm not, what doth hinder you? We don't know when God's going to call us from time into eternity. We don't know where death is in most cases. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Don't play Russian roulette with your eternal soul. What do you mean, Russian roulette? Well, I think I might do it sometime, but I'm not ready to do it right now. Well, you don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when God is going to call you out of this world. Why risk it? But don't obey him just because of the risk, but because of what Jesus has done for us. His only begotten Son. It was his death on earth is the reason that we have that privilege and opportunity to live forever with the Father. One more verse, and you may be seated.
Why so tall as are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spent in folly, you're prepared to meet thy God, careless soul. Oh, heed the warning for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared to meet thy God.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, were open, and another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. This is final roundup that I'm reading from in the book of Revelation. Again, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book, singular, was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. So God keeps a record, keeps a book on all of us. And what's in our book must coincide with the one book, his one book, at the judgment. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. Death and hell, disobedience, disobedient people. The death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible says, this is called the second death. But you're not unconscious. Death means separation. You're not unconscious. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's heaven or a lake of fire. What's your preference? Make a decision. It's your choice. It's your choice. Preacher, you're trying to make a... No. I'm just trying to get you to come to yourself and make a decision that's pleasing to God. That's pleasing to God because he is the judge. Thank you for your time and thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Brother Brown, for the message this morning. Very encouraging.